All right, guys, so a quick update on what's going on. Noah was arrested while picking up takeout at a local Applebee's this past weekend. It's been reported that the stench from not wearing deodorant alarmed the host, who promptly notified local authorities. We know at this point in the exchange, Noah became hysterical and began shouting, "You will get used to it, you will get used to it," over and over again. One of the managers then braved the odor to apprehend Noah until law enforcement was able to arrive on scene. The police tried to de-escalate the situation until one of the officers said, quote, "Wait, isn't this the guy who didn't have his dog on a leash?" end quote. At which point they maced Noah before shooting rubber bullets into the air to congratulate themselves on a job well done. Noah is currently awaiting his bond hearing. However, there are rumors the judge may offer a significantly reduced bond fee in order to ensure he does not do additional harm to the noses of the guards and fellow inmates present at the county jail. His family has asked for privacy, but did issue the following statement, quote, "He does love his mozzarella sticks," end quote. And that's all I got.
That was pretty good. I think it paints me as a freedom fighter, you know, a martyr. That's how you say that word, I think. You know, I sacrifice for the fucking cause.
Right. Of deodorant tyranny.
Of deodorant. We have lived under the thumb long enough. I demand a revolution.
I like how you're just doubling down on this take.
The revolution will be shown at Applebee's.
I don't even. I just thought of, like, what was the trashiest restaurant?
Oh, you picked it.
It had to be Applebee's. Like, this would happen at an Applebee's. In this case, it's just, I'm just implanting Noah into a normal Applebee's exchange.
Oh, it's a nightly exchange for Applebee's. They sell, like, $1, like, margarita. No, it's like $1 Long Island or something.
You're asking for it if you're selling $1 one island. You know what you're getting.
And it is no accident you have a nut job complaining about deodorant at an Applebee's. That is the brand they are going for.
It's the game. That is the game.
Yeah, yeah. They've cornered that fucking market.
Good for
them.
They
cornered it.
Great
for them.
Good on them. Yeah.
It's the American dream right there.
All right, what are we doing? This is the Drinking Buddies podcast. Episode 74. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not only did I just perform the first ever scripted portion of the Drinking Buddies podcast, but also looked up the episode numbers before we started.
We're just breaking new ground every week.
Professionalism at its finest. Okay. Close this. All right. Episode 74. We are discussing another movie. We're doing a movie episode.
Maybe our best movie yet. I say this quite a bit. I understand, almost weekly.
Yeah, I think it's between this and, like, Pan's Labyrinth, but they're very different movies.
They're very different. Yeah.
So I feel comfortable saying they're both above the rest.
Except for Urban Cowboy, of course.
Oh God, Jesus. Except for Maximum Overdrive. We're diving back into the world of cinema. Is this the first animated movie we've done?
Yeah, it's gotta be, right?
Yeah, it's not really fair because it's significantly better than, like, every other animated movie ever made.
Yeah, it's significantly better. Every single genre of this movie is better than every other one of it. Does that make any sense? It's the best superhero movie. It's the best animated movie. Those are the two genres. But it's definitely the best of those two, and one of the best movies of the decade.
Yeah, no, I love this movie. It is a perfect movie. There's nothing wrong with this movie. It does everything it wants to do and more, just at a very high level. Like, it's one of those, you know? Like, there's some movies that, like, I think This Is the End falls into that category where, like, it only tried to achieve a certain bar, but it hit it, you know? And this movie is like that, where they wanted to achieve a specific thing, and they did it so well.
Yes, absolutely. Like, they in a lot of ways, what they, the story methods they use could have been cliche, you know, mm-hmm. but it worked. They committed to every, they earned each cliche to the point where it wasn't a cliche. They earned through the art, through the storytelling and how they got there. And everything just fucking lands.
Yeah. So we are, of course, talking about
Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3.
No. The best superhero movie there is.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the 2018 movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I should have said The Good Dinosaur. That's on me.
You should have said, like, a bad movie. Yeah, Toy Story 3 was good.
Yeah, no, I'm very angry.
Yeah, so Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, another Sony Spider-Man movie. It's like one of the reasons there's so many Spider-Man movies is because it's the one that Sony has the rights to still. So that's like the only superhero movie they can make. So they just make more Spider-Man.
They just bust them out.
Yeah, but this worked because they just decided to do a crazy one.
And yes, and it is, yeah, I have nothing else to add. Yeah, it's crazy and it's just beautiful.
All right, so let us do the plot summary and then we will get into some of our other fun facts and whatnot, unless you have anything else to add before we jump in.
No, let's just jump in.
Okay. The first, like, 10 minutes, I mean, the whole movie's great, but the first, like, that opening scene is so good.
Yeah, it really is. Because it's when the animation, like, the animation is just so unique that mm-hmm. for the first, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of the movie, I'm just really just in awe of, like, how cool they made it and, like, how, like, comic booky they made it. I'm not into comic books, but it feels so true to what that genre is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll have a lot to say about the animation probably in the fun facts section. But yeah, you're right. Like that first like 10 minutes where you get the introduction to the, you know, the more traditional Spider-Man we all know and love, and then the introduction to Miles specifically, I think that scene is the one where you're just like, oh, okay, this is fucking genius. It just sucks you in, and it kind of like sets the tone for like creatively where they're going to take the story. So we get the opening sequence. The first line of the movie is "Let's do this one more time," which is like a recurring thing throughout the movie. It's kind of how the movie ends as well, with Miles doing his one more time. It's what they do to intro into like each Spider-Man intro.
Yeah, the "Let's do it one more time" was kind of like a metronome of the movie, you know, like it appeared at the beginning. You mentioned it appeared at the end, and it appeared throughout the movie, and it kind of reset how it was while also making fun of comic book movies where they just re-explain the origin story of the same goddamn character whenever they reboot the series, you know, like it was really clever, but also really impactful.
Yeah. And they like in the opening sequence for the, we'll call him the OG Spider-Man. They kind of spoofed some of the things like people make fun of those like original Spider-Man movies, like the upside down kiss. I feel like there's another thing that I'm forgetting at the moment. That was the one that stuck out, where they like kind of use that as like a means of humor, which was like kind of refreshing. It's like they're calling themselves out. So then we're introduced to Miles, where he's jamming out in his room, and that scene is like, the animation specifically in that scene is so good. And we get the him like kind of walking to school, walking by his old school. They pack so much in that first like 10 minutes. It's really impressive.
We know everything we need to know about like this character.
Yeah.
Like we find out he's biracial. He's attending a new school. He's well liked and very charismatic. But he like feels awkward in this new environment that that he's entering into. His dad is like kind of rules with an iron fist. His mom is really loving and caring. It's just all there. It's fucking delivered so well.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He also like mentions an earthquake, which we find out is significant later. Which is there was like presumably one of the first tests of the super collider thing that we meet soon.
I did not put that together in any way.
Well, one of the, as he's like walking through the neighborhood, one of the kids asked him like, "You feel that earthquake last night?" And he was like, slept like a baby. And so,
A lot of things. Last night was my third or fourth time watching it. There's a lot of like really small details I picked up on that I believe I've forgotten now.
Oh, perfect.
Naturally, you know?
That's good when you're doing a podcast on the subject.
Yeah, but good. Yeah, your turn.
We can talk about this more later, but like one of the things, the very first time I watched it, I didn't realize how genius it was. I think I fully appreciate it on like second, and I think this is my third watch because of that reason. But yeah, like one of the things that confused me the first time I watched it was like, I was unclear about when the girl shows up in his universe, but I'm guessing it has to be from that original earthquake that is referenced.
Oh, true. It's gotta be.
Yeah. But I never I didn't put that together. I might've just missed that line entirely or, you know, the first time watching it. They make like a lot of Brooklyn gentrification jokes in that first 10 minutes too.
Yeah, they do.
Still in the first 10 minutes, we kind of already understand the dynamic between Miles and his uncle Aaron. Just because like that brief exchange, like there's so much. We know he's like an artist guy. He meets the girl on that first day of school, which we don't know why she's so significant yet.
But you kind of know when you meet
her. Yeah.
Like you don't know why she is, but like she feels significant.
Right. I laughed. He got a 0 out of 100 on that test. That was funny.
And then the teacher goes and like, but you only got a 0 out of 100 because you knew all the answers, and she changed 100 out of 100, which again would be very cliche, but kind of just works for this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you trying to quit, Miles? This is like the line she throws on him. So that night, it's like some sort of boarding school sort of situation. So he's like at the school, but he sneaks out to hang out with his uncle Aaron. Fucking Jam Hypnotized drops here as like the introduction to
the record drop, and they literally dropped the pin of the record.
Oh, it's so good,
so good.
Yeah,
that and they cut to like the speaker like a sound bar thing, and it kept going. Like they just keep cutting to that. It was so fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that's when we meet Uncle Aaron. And this is when I wrote down, I mean, this was like evident from the very beginning, but like the voice acting is so good in this movie.
Yes.
The animation acting combination is like, it's so good. I don't know really why that is. I mean, I think everyone is like extremely well cast, which we'll talk more about later, but,
we'll get into that.
But yeah, I mean, even just like the interaction between, I mean, Uncle, I noticed it most first here with between Uncle Aaron and Miles, but it's just, it's so genuine. And it might just be because Mahershala Ali is like a really good actor, but
yeah, you could definitely like you feel that relationship and you root for that relationship so much because his uncle is like just the opposite of his dad in a lot of ways, but right. It's also so obvious that both the uncle and the dad love him, you know?
Yeah.
It's like not a compete, like for Miles, it's not a competing love in a lot of ways, but it's so good.
Yeah. He introduces him to the sly, like put your hand on the girl's shoulder and say, hey, technique, which comes back later in a cool way.
A very cool way.
Yeah. So the uncle is obviously more supportive of his artistic dreams than his father. And so he takes him down, to like this deserted subway station so he can do some graffiti. Which is okay. So a couple things about this scene, again, this is more of like, things I noticed on rewatch. I always thought it was like kind of weird that like his uncle knew, like, I always thought it, because this scene transitions into something far different, like pretty shortly after, kind of like as it's ending. So I always thought it was like, I don't know if like convenience is the right word, but like it kind of felt weird the way it flowed from like this cool scene between Miles and his uncle, and then it kind of goes into superhero mode. But it makes a lot more sense knowing who his uncle actually is. We find out later. Does that make sense?
No, well, I can't. I'm blanking on how the scene turns.
Well, let's just go through it. So he's painting. He's like tagging the wall.
Yeah.
And we're introduced to a radioactive spider. Mm-hmm. Which is the one thing everything knows about Spider-Man is he was turned into Spider-Man into a radioactive spider. So we meet the radioactive spider, and it bites Miles.
He goes back up and he starts to like stick to things, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no. Yeah. So then it turns into like the spider. Yeah. So we get the spider biting him, and then not much comes of it that night. But I always thought it was weird because he ends up going back there, and that's when the superhero stuff happens.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But no, I see what you're saying though. It's like the uncle knew that was the area and brought him to like that place because he knew it was the area because what he was doing on the side, you know?
Yeah. So he goes back up after doing his tag work that his uncle supports.
Really cool piece of art too.
Yeah, it was.
Like it was really fucking cool. Like, and then like they ended it like, what was the word again? It was like, was it no expectations off of like Great Expectations, like a play on that?
Yeah, something like that.
And then it like they like spray painted a silhouette of Miles's body. Yeah. Really fucking sick.
Yeah, and his uncle's like assisting him through the art.
Yeah. So they teaching like... teaching him, mentoring the mentee, if you will.
Right. So he gets bitten by the spider. He goes back up, and then
this is when he like sticks to everything. Like the spider bites him and he brushes it off. And then he runs into Gwen and let's just acknowledge real quick. I fucking nailed that. I even put my hand out for all the listeners that can't see.
Right.
And then his hand sticks to her hair, and like he just kind of has a freak out, you know, because he's becoming Spider-Man. I would freak out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so he starts taking to shit after the day after. He's like trying to convince like it's a normal spider. So then he goes back to check to see if it's a normal spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when it turns superhero-y.
Which, I don't think you'd need to go back to check, dude. You've got plenty of fucking proof.
Yeah, he's yeah, of course. And then, yeah, the fight scenes are so fucking good in this movie.
Yeah, they really are. They're just, the whole movie's mesmerizing, but the fight scenes, they just work so well. You know? Because, like, again, the whole movie, this is coming from somebody who's never read a comic book, but the whole movie just feels like a comic book. And the fight scenes especially.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, I love the way they stylize, like, they do, like, the little, like, you know, the, the noise blurbs. I don't know what the technical term is. But, like, where it says, like, kapow and, like, shit like that.
Yeah.
For the punches. And they'll do, like, these, like, special frames of, like, just, like, the action scenes. Like you said, like they're right out of a comic book. They're really good. So we see, as Miles is checking out to see if it's a normal spider, he stumbles upon Spider-Man, the real Spider-Man, fighting some sort of giant monster thing.
Yeah, it was like was it like a lizard?
Something like that. And there's clearly some fuckery happening. Lots of fuckery. But Spider-Man's handling it, and Spider-Man, who is Chris Pine, is hilarious.
I didn't realize that was Chris Pine. Pine. Well casted. Yeah. If we have not mentioned that, very, very well casted.
Yeah. And then we're introduced to a Kingpin, who has the most evil of body types.
I fucking love it. He's all body and like one tiny fucking head. I love the way they like designed this dude.
Yeah. So yeah, Spider-Man is fighting Kingpin and the monster, and they're trying to shut off this super collider gizmo that's like causing earthquakes and breaking space time in front of them. Spider-Man ultimately perishes in this fight. It's very sad.
He dies hand of Kingpin, who punches him.
Right.
That's a hard fucking punch to kill Spidey.
Yeah, man. And we learn, and we kind of like are clued into, you know, Kingpin has some sort of motivation, because Spider-Man, before he dies, says like, I know what you're trying to do, and it's not going to work. So that's a little, you know.
That's what you call a teaser.
I mean, if we know one thing, it's teasers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a teaser. I know a teaser when I see one.
You're goddamn right. Something about Kingpin I want to bring up is his fucking voice. I love it.
Yeah.
It's like New York. It's like, I don't know what New York, but it's like, I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's like pure evil.
Yeah.
I love that accent.
I'm pulling up his... Who is Kingpin? I think it's someone famous. But...
Just the way he talks. You just don't trust that motherfucker, you know? You're not, like... You don't... you just know from the voice.
Yeah, it's not someone I recognize. Liev Schreiber? I thought it was, though. Fantastic. So then, like, you know, Miles is freaked the fuck out. His dad's been calling because the super collider caused a massive earthquake, which we later find out opened the multiverse. So he goes home, and his parents let him stay the night. It was like kind of an emotional scene. And then the next day, like, everyone's mourning Spider-Man, and he goes and buys like a Spider-Man costume, and he buys it from Stan Lee, of course.
Yeah, again, could be cliche, but they just fucking nail it. Like, because like they like hint that Stan Lee knows that Miles is the next Spider-Man, you know, like it's kind of implied in the scene. And yeah. It's kind of a really touching moment.
It is, especially, like, since Stan Lee has passed, like, all of the Stan Lee cameos have, like, I feel like are, like, better now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've rewatched some of the Marvel movies lately, and, like, it's like, aw, every time he shows up.
It definitely helps.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so he goes to, like, Spider-Man's grave site, and this is when the movie shifts into a gear that you may have not expected.
There are a few different shifts.
Yeah, and this is certainly one of them.
Yeah, this is definitely, this is the first one.
Well, we are introduced to another Spider-Man. He looks the most similar to the original Peter Parker. He just has, like, brown hair.
B. Parker.
Do you know what
the B stand for? Brown?
I know. I don't know for sure. I have a guess, though. Because I was watching, like, you know, before this episode, I was watching some, like, interviews with, like, the animators and, like, you know, creators of the movie. And apparently they referred to him as Burrito Spider-Man. And I like to think that's what the B stands for.
I would too. That's even better than Brown.
Yeah, so we meet Jake Johnson in the perfect role for him. As the, like, lazier version of the original Spider-Man. And we, you know, we get his backstory. He, in that one, he's unable to save Aunt May. What are the other things that happens?
What's the girlfriend's name? Spider-Man?
Why am I forgetting? It's Mary. Is it Mary Ann?
No, it's Mary. There's one Mary Jane, right?
No, it's Mary Jane.
But there's two like, whatever. But they break up, and because he doesn't want kids, and then he also puts on a lot of weight. He sells out even more in a sad way, you know? just the sad version of Spider-Man.
Yeah, but it's fucking perfect because it's Jake Johnson.
It's like, so perfect.
It's so fucking funny.
Oh my god, he's so good in this role. And part of me also, like, the entire movie just hears Nick from New Girl. I don't know if that's a bad thing.
No, it works. It works so well. I love the part where he was like, he starts talking about the seahorses.
And I got a lot of time to reflect and work on myself. Did you know that seahorses, that they mate for life? Could you imagine a seahorse seeing another seahorse and then making it work?
He just gets so sad over seahorses mating for life.
Did you know if seahorses mate for life?
It's just so fucking pathetic.
Oh, and then he calls, like, every gizmo a goober.
He's just such a fucking loser.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. And then, like, Miles, you know, wants a mentor because he thought he was going to get that from the original Spider-Man, from the interaction with the Kingpin scene, the first Kingpin scene. So, like, some of the tips he's, I'm just going to call him Burrito Spider-Man from now on. Burrito Spider-Man gives him her, like, put baby's powder in the suit and always eat a hearty burger breakfast.
Good. Like, he deserves recognition. That is some good advice.
Yeah. Miles broke the goober, which is just what Burrito Spider-Man refers to every sort of, like, device to, like, save the day. Instead of just, like, he's like, instead of remembering each individual one, I just call them all goobers. It's basically his philosophy.
I can't stress how fucking funny that is. That's the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Yeah, so it's because he broke the goober, they go to the place where, like, the company whose name is on said goober, and we meet Octavius, who turns out to be, like, this famous scientist that we kind of are hinted at earlier in a subtle way. And that scene's so funny. because it's like, it's lazy Spider-Man, but he's still Spider-Man. Like, somehow, like, they hit that balance perfectly, because that really could have gone south, you know?
They like do, the... they do. He's, like, still a superhero and does incredible stuff. He just, like, he has, like, he's still Spider-Man, but he just doesn't have his shit together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would have been... It could have, like, really gone south where it would have been, like, tough to sell him, like, saving anyone. But they still, they somehow make it work where they strike that balance where he's just, like, his life is in shambles, but he's still, like, yeah, just, like, physically capable. It's just so fucking funny. And then, like, yeah. He's, like, trying to coach Miles through everything.
Yeah, when Miles is invisible. And it just, it's just kind of so fucking obvious and just lazy.
Yeah. When they're like swinging, you know, through the forest, and like he's like pumping himself up because Miles is figuring it out. He's like, oh, this could work, like me, the teacher. You, the student who can't do stuff as good as me.
It's so good. He's so fucking good in this movie.
All right, so then we're introduced to a Spider-Gwen at the end of this, at this daunting escape.
They try to escape and they fail.
Mm-hmm.
And who comes in to save the goddamn day?
Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen.
Yes, who is the girl, the aforementioned girl we've met earlier, who, we know, we said was significant, and she was. Yeah, so that, it always confused me, because, like, for the first time I watched it, I thought there was a second Gwen. I think that's what, because the big earthquake is presumably when the rest of them showed up, right? The big earthquake at the end, like, in the Spider-Man dies scene.
Yeah, but, like...
She had to have shown up at that other earthquake mentioned in the very, like, half-heartedly mentioned in the very beginning.
I think that's what it was, because, just when she shows up, we get her backstory, let's do this one more time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she mentions that a week ago she came back, you know?
Yeah.
So I think she was Gwen the whole time. When Miles has his hand sticking to her hair, at one point she's like freaking out, and then she's like, Miles, just relax. And it, when she says that, it's almost like she knows how to control that power.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at that point it was her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we meet her, we get her backstory in her universe, so like she is Spider-Gwen, and Peter Parker was like her best friend who died, and that's like that's kind of like her sorrow story. The traditional Spider-Man lost Uncle Ben, but not her. So they're kind of confused, they don't know what to do, so they visit Aunt May, which, of course, in Burrito Spider-Man's world, died. So it's kind of weird for him.
Dead.
Yeah, real dead. And this is, like, one of the best fucking scenes in the movie.
Yeah. For Aunt May is kind of fucking awesome, because she knows what's up the entire movie.
Yeah,
she's,
yeah,
like, kind of one step ahead of everybody else, which is so cool.
Yeah. She's so dope.
So she knows they're coming.
Yeah. So yeah, they show up and she like takes them to the good Spider-Man spider lair. And that's like so funny when Burrito Spider-Man's all like, this place is so pretentious. And he's like, yeah.
No, it's like they walk up to the shed, and he's like, oh, I got one of these too. I keep my costumes in there. And then Aunt May opens it up, and it's like an elevator down to like a bat cave.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And then he's like, well, yeah, I have one of these, you know, without the plane and the jeep and a futon. Oh, that's so fucking funny. Yeah, and then that scene's so... Aunt May's so fucking good in this whole movie. But, like, the part where she's just, like, playing coy throughout that whole scene, and then at the end hands him, like, the name tags.
Yeah.
Which is also, like, another theme that shows up throughout, where, like, people will have, like, the different Spider-Man name tag things, like, visual will show up. Like, when we meet Peter B. Parker, he has one on, and his is, like, kind of dusty, dirty, and torn up, because he's a piece of shit.
I don't even notice that.
Yeah. It's like every little detail of this movie is fucking genius. But yeah, we are introduced to three more spider persons, and it is so good, that introduction.
And notice that a spider person might be a little bit of a stretch.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if you can say that.
So she's like, you guys might need D's. You think you're the first people? You think you're the first ones to come here? And then the first one we're introduced is Nor Spider-Man, who is... I forgot how funny he is. So, like, everyone, we're going to talk a lot about Peter Porker and how he's, like, the greatest character in film history.
And rightfully so.
But I completely forgot how fucking funny Nor Spider-Man is.
He's so good.
It's Nick Cage.
Nick Cage comes in and he's just dropping dimes. Yeah. Like, he's fucking shooting from half court and swishing everything.
Yeah, so he is, like, his thing is he's drawn in black and white only, and he's, like, from the 1930s, and so he, like, speaks in that, like, 1930s New York talk. He talks about, like, how he only fights Nazis, and, like, the wind always follows him where he goes. He has that line where he's, like, sometimes I let a match burn down to my fingers just to feel something, and, like... Oh, it's so good.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And he just commits so hard the entire time.
Every line out of his mouth makes me laugh. Like, I didn't remember him being that funny, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if it weren't for Porter Parker, he would have been the one that stole the show.
Yeah. So we meet him. The second one we meet is Penny Parker, who's also hilarious, just, like, the concept of her is more so than, like she doesn't have the same one-liners Nor has, but she, just the concept of her is fucking hilarious. Like, she's from the future, and she's, like, drawn anime style, and, like, she kept the radioactive spider as, like, her pet, and it, like, works in a robot, and, like, they have, like, a telepathic connection. It's so fucking good.
One thing I love about all three of these characters is they're just in a completely other movie.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, all drawn different.
Like, literally and figuratively.
Completely different animation styles for all three of them compared to, like, the movie. Yeah, it's so good. And then, of course, the star of the show, every fucking syllable out of his mouth makes me laugh in this whole movie.
It's side splinting. Like, I'm just cracked.
Every time he opens, I don't know. I wasn't able
seeing him on the screen or hearing what he says.
Yeah, because after Penny Parker, Burrito Peter is like, "This can't get any weirder." And then fucking Spider Ham, a short fucking pig, voiced by John Mulaney and just John Mulaney's voice, shows up.
It's just John Mulaney.
Yeah, like, he's doing no voice acting. He's just talking like John Mulaney.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder. I just washed my hands. That's why they're wet. No other reason.
Oh my god. Yeah. I think he is the funniest character in cinematic history.
It's
line for line.
He's batting 1,000.
Not get better than that. He's batting 1,000.
Like, I wasn't able to find any information on this definitively. I will continue to try and look, but I feel like most of his lines were improvised, or else someone's, like, a genius writer. But, like, because I feel like that's just something they would just be like, okay, John Mulaney, introduce yourself as Spider-Ham. Like, that's just something he would say, I feel like.
That is, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose to believe it was mostly improvised.
Yeah, and so, and then we get all their respective origins, the let's do this one more time. So yeah, that's when we learn, you know, Noir Spider-Man's from the 1930s, Penny Parker's from the future, and like Spider-Ham's just a photographer. Oh, it's so fucking, it's just
I can't get over how funny that thing is.
Even like the small stuff, like in the beginning they're like, you know what happens, like I was bitten by a radioactive spider, and like they all say it at the same time, but then you just hear John Mulaney over top say pig. Oh, it's so good.
And it was like a half a second later too.
Yeah, it was like, I was bitten by a radioactive spider pig. Just John Mulaney's voice.
In John Mulaney's voice.
Yeah.
I think John Mulaney is the most important person we have right now. He's the, like, the rich, white, famous white guy that I trust the most.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's just perfect in everything.
It's like him and John Oliver. And, like,
yes.
We can put the rest on a ship and shoot it into the sun.
Like, yeah, maybe Tom Hanks, but that's probably wrong. I just want to choose to believe in Tom Hanks.
His son is wild, but not the normal one, the other one.
We should do an episode on him.
My God. Yeah, so we meet Peter Porker, a.k.a. Spider-Ham. He's fucking incredible. Yeah?
I got a question.
Yes.
So, I know Miles is like a real character in the comics. Are all these based off of real comics, or do they make up Porter Pig?
That's a great question. I will look that up. I don't think so.
Yeah, I can't imagine any serious company greenlighting
You
could tell me Noir and Gwen, and that would make sense in the spider robot future one. That'd be a little bit of a stretch for me.
Yeah.
But there's no fucking way they made a spider pig.
I mean, I have the answer.
All right, prove me right, Eric.
So on the Wikipedia page for Spider-Ham.
Yep.
First appearance, Marvel tale starring Peter Porker, the spectacular Spider-Ham, November 1983.
Oh, Jesus fucking yes. We need to get our hands on this.
I also love, like, there's a sentence on the Wikipedia page, Spider-Ham made his cinematic debut in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2018, voiced by John Mulaney. I think it was like a joke, though. So, 19... Which... So, yeah,
that's a fucking lie. The Simpsons movie Spider Pig comes in after.
That is true. So wait, oh, this is even better than I'm gonna have to find this and buy this. It's probably worth too much money after the movie. Okay, so it was supposed to be funny. So Spider-Ham was first featured as the star of the 1983 humorous one-shot Marvel Tales, with a backup cast of other funny animal parody versions of popular Marvel superheroes, such as Captain Americat, Hulk Bunny, Goose Rider, a goose version of Ghost Rider. And, yeah. And then, like, after that, they did make a short-run series of Peter Porker the Spectacular Spider-Ham. That was canceled in 1987.
I have a newfound respect for Marvel.
Oh, but that's the thing. That's the thing with comic books is, like, it doesn't really surprise me, because that's what, like, they'll just throw anything out there.
Yeah. It's so easy to make a fucking comic book. It takes one guy to, like, draw and write, you know?
I'm gonna look up Penny Parker. Penny Parker. First appearance. Was in 2014, so newer. but yes, in a comic.
Look up noir. I hope to God it's like the 20s. I know it won't be, but that would be incredible.
Spider-Man Noir. First appearance, 2009.
Oh, wow. That's very... I would have guessed like at least the 90s.
Yeah, me too. That is interesting. What's the other one? Spider-Gwen?
Spider-Gwen, yeah.
Spider-Gwen. First showed up in... looks like 2015, which that makes more sense.
Yeah. Oh, look up Peter B. Parker. I'm not sure.
That's a good point. Yeah, Peter B. Parker. I don't know if he would even have his own Wikipedia page. I don't think so. Okay, let's see. Unknown. I will continue to do research. I don't think so.
That makes me like... I'm glad that's the case.
Yeah, it makes more sense for that character to have been... Jesus Christ. I saw an article. The title of this article is "Peter B. Parker: What a Suicidal Spider-Man Can Tell Us About," and then it like cuts off. But he wasn't
That's sad. Another classic tease.
Yeah, my God. All right, let's get back to the summary. Okay, we're doing good on time. So we get like a. We get some good shit here where we get the they fight as a group for the first time as Octavia like shows up at Aunt May's house.
Yes.
Cuz they like followed them after their grand escape from the science evil science place.
This is a great fight scene cuz it also like all the three new inductees, they fight in their own specific way, which is fantastic.
Yeah, they all have their like own special ability, which we will get to in a second, because John Mulaney has the best one of those.
Of course, he's the best one of everything.
They all have like their own special abilities, and then we're kind of introduced to the Prowler, who we caught a glimpse of at the Kingpin killing OG Spider-Man. Who's like this purple character with claws. And claws are bad.
Very intimidating.
Yeah, very intimidating, the Prowler. So yeah, as they're fighting, the Prowler goes after young Miles, and there's like a dramatic fight scene. And how does the Prowler die?
So the Prowler gets Miles, is hanging off the ledge, notices it's Miles, and plot twist, the Prowler is the uncle.
Yeah.
The uncle is evil.
Uncle
but the
Aaron.
Uncle still loves Miles, that he Uncle Aaron takes Miles off, sets him on the roof, and is devastated and is just going through a lot, but he's gonna let Miles live because he's a good uncle, when the Kingpin is behind and shoots the uncle Aaron in the back.
Yeah. And then you know, they have an emotion, Miles and Uncle Aaron have an emotional scene. You know, this is where he says, "You the best of us, Miles." And he also says like, "Oh, I let you down." Every one of those types of lines, I always think in the Duncan voice from Maximum Overdrive, like, "I gotta find my boy." Like, "I let you down."
As you should.
"I let down my boy."
Yeah, so it was that, except for really good.
Yeah, exactly. Except it was like a real actor. It was Mahershala Ali. So, you know. Yeah, it was good. So the dad is, of course, the cop on the scene. And he sees Spider-Man hanging over his dead brother, you know. Because Miles is in, like, that costume he bought from Stan Lee. And he thinks Spider-Man killed his brother. So now he really hates Spider-Man. Which is, you know,
I can't blame him on that.
Complicated, because his son is, you know, a Spider-Man now. complicated, to say the least.
You could say it's a well-woven, spun web, if you will.
Ooh, a web. I like it. I like it. More spider references.
Shut
on spider
it
references.
Down. It's over. That was my best joke after 72 or 3 episodes.
Wow. Yeah, this is the last episode now. sucks because we're not going to get through the whole plot. Yes, so Miles escapes, or he doesn't really escape, so he runs, you know. They end up at Miles's like boarding school room, like all of them. Do you remember this?
So
they end up there, and it's like that incredible scene where they like try not to scare his roommate, and so they're all like hanging out, like hiding in the corners of the ceiling, and then he spots them, and then John Mulaney just fucking like, do animals talk in this universe? Because this would really freak him out.
Just every fucking line is a banger.
Yeah. And so then this is when they decide, like, one of them, they realize that in order to turn off the super, or to, you know, to turn on the super collider and then shut it off, one of them has to stay behind. The logical choice would be Miles, because this is his correct universe, but they don't think he's ready. So
yes.
So they agree that Jake Johnson should do it.
I don't think we said this at the beginning, but it's established that the spider beings that aren't Miles are going to die if they stay in this universe too long, because their atoms don't really like equate, because they're in the wrong universe. So yeah. So Burrito Spider would be sacrificing his life by staying in the universe that we're in. Also, Eric, what are you drinking today?
What a great time to do this.
Thank you.
I am drinking a margarita that I made. Noah saw me shake it up before the show.
Quite aggressively. I'm drinking a Scrimshaw beer.
The fuck?
I don't know, but it's got a shark fin in it.
Oh, that's incredibly badass. There's a whale in the shark fin?
I know, right? I was about to say that. How cool is it?
That's pretty
And
awesome.
It's a 9% beer, and it tastes really good.
Those are good. That's always like a winner.
Yeah. Okay, should we start the episode?
Yeah, all right. So we are doing episode 74, Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, so they like leave Miles, and he's sad because they're like, "You're not ready." He goes home, or his dad like shows up because he knows, you know, he doesn't know that Miles already knows his uncle died. So he like goes to tell him, and he has like this really emotional conversation with Miles.
Yeah, and Miles is tied up because the other spiders left, and he can't speak to his dad or open the door. You know, and the dad's spilling his heart because the dad feels, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very emotional moment.
I wrote cut me fucking deep.
Yeah. And again, if this were a lesser movie, I don't know if this would work.
Yeah. You're right. So like, Miles is finally ready to unleash his full powers, right? Like, there's that great scene, like, a little earlier, because he, like, can't control his powers, right? Like, he can't control how he sticks, like, from that first, when he can first start sticking to stuff. They also did a really good job of, like, tying that to the original comic. Like, Miles, like, opens the original Spider-Man comic, and, like, he repeats the same lines, like, on accident, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did do a good job.
That was really well done. But, yeah, and, like, he also, like, can turn invisible, but he can't control that. And he has that, like, what does Spider-Man call it? Like, the fucking, this Venom shot or whatever. He just like,
I can't remember what he calls it, but yeah.
So he can't control his powers, and that's why they don't think he's ready. But he's finally focused and kind of after this emotional conversation, well, not really conversation, but speech by his dad.
He's locked in.
He's locked in, and this is like one of the most satisfying like 5-minute sequences in movie history. When he like busts out and he goes to Aunt May, the shed.
Oh yeah, and he puts on the new spiders, the fucking baller spider suit.
There's also like a really subtle thing they do. So the first time he's in the shed, he like looks at the, because Spider-Man has all his like costumes like displayed, and he looks at like, you know, the standard Spider-Man costume, and he looks up at it, and his face in the reflection, you can see it, and it's like kind of at his chest. But this time, the second time, when he goes to the shed and he's locked in, ready to be Spider-Man, he's eye to eye.
This movie's so fucking good.
Yeah, and nothing went
past. It's ridiculous how good this movie. It's on another fucking level.
Yeah, eye to eye. He's eye to eye with it. Yeah, and of course Aunt May, who's just fucking incredible this whole movie, is she's like sitting in a chair, like, took you long enough. When he shows up again, it's like, ah, Aunt May, you did it again.
You sly dog, you.
Sly dog. Should we talk about, like, we kind of mentioned Miles's powers and how that scene's funny because Jake Johnson's like, guys, trust me, he's good, he can turn invisible, and they're like, turn invisible, and Miles is like, oh, I can't control that, and Jake Johnson's like, well, he can't control that, and like but we should also talk about that scene because the greatest line in cinematic history comes from this scene.
Which line is that?
So they like, each one of them respectively talks about their power. So like Spider-Gwen has like extraordinary grace, like balance, I guess, because she's like a dancer, I guess, in her universe, which kind of feels weak for like the how strong a character she is.
Them giving the only woman like woman Spider-Man that is not their greatest move, but I'm gonna give them a break because they know everything else so well.
Yeah, and then I don't even remember what Noir and, well, Penny is just like, she has the robot.
Yeah.
What was Noir? Noir had something that I remember being like kind of good.
Was it like smelling crime or something?
Yeah. Yes, of course it was. Yeah, it was something like that. And then fucking, so they're all like stating their thing, like, can you do this? Can you do this? And then fucking John Mulaney just says, what the fuck? Can you float through the air when you smell a delicious pie?
It's so good. I can't stress how good that character is.
Like, the delivery is just, it's so good.
So fucking funny.
So
anybody else and it would just be an alright character, but it's John fucking Mulaney.
He steals the movie with like, he only has like six, we've said all of his lines.
Yeah, it's shocking how little he speaks considering how often he's talked about.
Yeah. Alright, so Miles is ready. He suits up. He spray paints his suit to make it his, which I think is really cool.
And like, oh, I forgot about that. That is really ties it back in, you know.
It's to the art.
It's circular, you know. Another great storytelling technique.
And then that scene with like the what's up danger playing, where he jumps off the building. That 2 minutes is like so good.
Fucking sick.
It's so good.
Oh my god, what is there to say about it? It's just, it's incredible. It gets you so hyped.
Yeah, he like jumps off the building, he's like has this, he's like fully confident that he's gonna be able to swing and, you know, not just die on the ground. It's good. It's just, it's I don't know what to say. And it has like that famous upside down city shot.
Yeah.
It's great. It's so
we were working towards this moment, you know. Yeah. It builds up and it achieves that. It's so good.
Every time they introduce a new Spider-Man, they like throw a comic book cover of that Spider-Man on the like on a table, and then they throw his down here, which is just it's so satisfying to see it.
He's
fucking made it. Yeah. All right, so he's going to go join the fight because the other Spider-Man ran off and they were going to, you know, Jake Johnson was going to stay behind so the other ones could go to their correct universes and they're going to have their final showdown with Kingpin. It's all coming to a head.
Oh boy, it's happening.
It's happening. And we will find out how it ends next week.
Boom.
We talked about teasers.
We were teasing this tease.
It was a tease within the T-ception.
Deception.
So we will finish the summary. We'll talk about some of our favorite quotes. There's a lot of fun facts to discuss in episode 75. Hopefully at which point you will be released from jail from your incident at Applebee's.
God, I hope so.
Noah, what is do you have a fuck this thing or do you want me to go first?
I can go. Okay. Fuck New Hampshire license plate.
Oh, so, what the fuck?
Do you know what the New Hampshire's license plate is?
No.
Live free or die. Who the fuck are you, New Hampshire? You're like the last state anybody thinks about. If you were like Texas or something, that makes sense. You're New fucking Hampshire. Who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah, that's just intense.
Yeah, for New Hampshire. Who gives a shit about you? You're like the worst Connecticut, and Connecticut already sucks.
I think I remember there being like someone doing a stand-up bit about this, how like New Hampshire, there's like another state too that has like a really fucking intense slogan, and it's like a really weird state. And then like Texas's official state motto is actually like the friendship state or something like that.
Oh my god.
Like that was basically the premise of the comedy bit. It was pretty funny.
They should switch because New Hampshire just seems very friendly to me.
Yeah. All right. I built up my list of fuck this things from last time, so I have choice.
Oh, exciting.
I'm gonna do this one because I just feel like it's so it was like hot here, so we got popsicles, you know, from the store.
Oh, naturally.
Well, these popsicles, they don't have jokes on the stick, and I think that's just a fucking waste of everyone's time.
That's a total fucking waste.
Yeah, I think it should be if you're gonna make the effort to make the popsicle. Just, I mean, like also joke standards on like candy, like Laffy Taffys used to be kind of funny. And they're so bad now. You know the jokes on the back of Laffy Taffys?
It's just... everything gets worse. We're just... Like, every year it gets worse.
Like, when we were kids, they weren't, like... They were, like, dumb funny. But, like, now they're just so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And fucking popsicles aren't even putting jokes on it?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, here's just the popsicle. Like that's not part of the value proposition here.
Yeah, what are you saving 2 cents on that? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, fuck you. That's really all I have to say. I was supremely disappointed.
These kids growing up today aren't gonna understand what it's like to live.
They don't. These fucking kids.
They don't get it.
I loved like the fake. I mean, I guess for some people it might be real. The like millennial Gen Z rivalry, which is also like the years we were born. Like the year we were born is like I don't really know where we fit in that. Like we're technically millennials, but like being a technically millennial is kind of a weird place to be.
Exactly, we're like the year after, you know.
Like, yeah, like we're within a year or two. Within the window.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Fucking like most millennials like are like married with kids right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're like 30 in their 30s. Like
yeah. That's not us.
That's not us. Yeah. So like it's kind of weird on that front. But all I will say on that is like you know, Gen Z will be like graduating college soon, and then I'm sure they will be more like us.
Oh, 100%. I agree. I love that like fake rivalry, because it's really just Gen Z shitting on millennials, and the millennials also shitting on millennials.
Yep, that's what it is.
And then millennials being like, you'll get it too when you're depressed and old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait 5 years.
And you'll
hate yourself
like
too. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. All right. Do you have anything else? We will finish up Into the Spider-Verse next week.
I do not.
All right, well, with that, fuck New Hampshire's ambitious license plate slogan, and fuck popsicles without jokes on the stick. And with that, stay drunk, everyone.
Stay drunk.
Say